And well, I titled this, Where's Your Worship? If there's one subject I've probably spoke more on in the number of years that I've been your associate pastor, that would be the most often one spoken about, because it's something that God really deals with me personally on, and I feel like the church as a whole is dealt with in that. And we, you know, when I say the word worship, I'm talking about two things. Love expressed. It's love that is expressed. That's worship, whether you thought it was or it isn't. That's really what the definition of it is. It's love that's expressed. Now, the Jewish calendar, if you know anything about Jewish history and read anything about the Jewish calendar, you know that we've just passed through the season of Advent, the coming Advent of the coming of the man, Son of Man, into the world. And we're entering in the season of Lent that's going on now, which is the preparatory season for his death, Jesus' death on the cross. And many of the Jewish people still practice a lot of these things. And some of you, I know, still do. Some of you are giving up. You give up things for Lent, it's a time of prayer and fasting that you do that. Let me caution you just a little bit about the fasting part. I hear a number of people say, I'm giving up chocolate for Lent this year. Well, that might have been a little selfish motive in there somewhere. You know, you could give up something else if you wanted to. I mean, I don't know if you're sitting around eating chocolate all day, but you know, it needs to be something that you give up so that you'll give God that time. That's simply all it is, all it's ever meant. Doesn't have to be a food. It doesn't have to be any of those things. It can be a time. And I can talk about that at a later date. But I did some Googling and got to looking at some of the things and some of the statistics in the church. And This giving up of something and replacing it with our time with God is very, very prevalent even in the church today. I asked this question in Sunday school a couple of weeks ago, and I'll go ahead and give it to you. Do you think that in our worship service that you truly express the love you feel for our God? Do you think in our worship service that you truly express the love you feel for our God? I didn't get one hand raised. That's what I expected. And then there, you know, the follow-up question, if that's the way it is, why is it that way? Why is it that we claim to love God and we come together in his name and in his place, yet we don't express how we really feel about him, or we get kind of distracted. I think is what actually happens. Now, these seasons of the year are funny. You won't believe some of the things down there. What month? It's audience participation time. What month do you think most people get saved in? There's 12 of them. Just throw one out there, okay? September. Who said that? You did, didn't you? You cheated. You did my notes. Let's have a word of prayer and go on. No, it is September. I'm so thankful that you got the spirit and played along like you were supposed to there. But it is September, and it's kind of strange that it's that way. If you watch our church, even here in September and October, things pick up. They have for a long time. I often wonder why. Well, you know, and here's the age old thing we say. Well, people have been on vacation, you know. I don't know about you guys, but I can go on vacation about 4 days and all my money's gone. I've got to come back, you know. People, they've been on vacation. They left on vacation mid-May. They won't be back till sometime, you know, mid-September. It's hard for me to identify with that. But what happens a lot of times is when we do go on vacation, our worship goes with us. Or let's take that back. Worship didn't go with us. It just stayed where it was at, and nothing was done. And that happens a lot more than we'd like to say. Attendance goes up in the fall. And, you know, this is a harvest time, so it could be a harvest of souls, I guess. And here's another one. What's the most often asked question in the church today? And Sharon, if you will, please refrain from answering. Anybody? Are we living in the last days? Are we living in the last days? That's the most often asked question by Christians now. Brother Frank is doing a marvelous job in Matthew 24, going through that with a series that we're having on Sunday morning. You need to pay attention and be here certainly for that. But if we are living in the last days, and no one knows, Jesus told us no one knows. He said he wouldn't even know. But if no one knows that whether or not we're living in the last days or not, shouldn't it be kind of an attention getter to us? You know, it's time to get my life right with God, and it's time for me to get this thing that I'm calling worship. Let's get that right. And when are we going to get that right? And why is it not right already? You know, I want to challenge you tonight. I want you to do something. We do this. I want you to take a personal inventory of where you are in this. Not your neighbor, not the church. I'm not even looking at that tonight. I want to know where you are in this. And I'm going to ask the question in just a moment. Now, I want you to write down, get away where your neighbor can't see what you write, because I don't want them knowing what you're writing down. It's only for you to know. And whether you know it or not, you're worshiping something. Did you know that? You're worshiping something. Well, you say, Mike, I know people that ain't worshiping anything. Oh, yeah, they are. They are. You know why I know that? Because that's what we were created to do. We are created to worship. It's our free will choice as to what we're worshiping. But we are created to worship. The only thing that's ever going to fill this place right here is the worship of our Lord and recognition of what he did for us. That's the only thing that's going to make you feel complete right here. It's the only thing. But we find all these other things that we did. And I put in your notes the exchange. What are we exchanging for worship? The great exchange there. And I said this too. You can write this down, those of you taking notes, and those of you that aren't, you write it down too. Worship is a response to something or someone that we value the most. A response to someone or something that we value the most. The thing that we value the most is giving. Now, I want you to see that you can answer any number of things based on that definition that I just gave you. I want you to write down on your red sheet, and you can write it over there however you want to so nobody will see it. But I want you to stop and take just a few minutes and think about what, with that definition, a response to something or someone that you value the most. Write down what you're getting, what's getting you worship right now. And you know, the first thing that we look at it, we say, you know, I don't worship those things. I go to church twice a week. Twice a week. That's not, but, you know, at the most, 4 hours. That's 4 hours out of a week. You know, that's not a whole lot of time. So if you're doing it based on a time basis, you know, and that's what a lot of people, that's what they like to substitute. In the letter to the Romans, Paul wrote this. He said in Romans 1:21-23 there, he said, for although they knew God, these are the people of God he's writing to, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claim to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being, birds and animals and reptiles. We get that picture of the Egyptian culture, don't we, with the worshiping the cats and the eagles and all that stuff, you know. And you would be the first to tell me, well, Mike, I don't worship any idols and all that. I don't have any idol statues at my house and all that. You might have more than you think. You stop and think about that thing you put down on that paper that you worship, and you think about that. You might have a whole lot more there that you're worshiping that you didn't realize you were doing. You see, folks, the devil doesn't stand in front of you and say, hey, worship this. No, he easily drags you into this and fools you into this, and then you're off the direction or the right path that you're supposed to be in, because now You created to worship, but you worship something that you're not supposed to. So the fulfillment in your life is not there because you're going in the wrong direction. You know what a fanatic is? It's a person that finds out they're going in the wrong direction and it doubles their speed trying to get there faster. That's what a fanatic actually does. That's what he is. And that's what we do. We'll say, well, okay, well, I'm not where I'm supposed to be, so I'm just going to go fast as I can. And then what we do is we end up with more and more idols, more and more fish, cats, and reptiles, and all that. Brother, I thought about cats. I could have got you a ceramic cat for Christmas or something, but I wouldn't do that to you. If you're not aware, Brother Frank loves cats, so if you got one that... And let me say this to you, in all seriousness here, God does not mind you having other things in your life to do. He does not mind at all. I thought about this, and we all sitting in this room, we know what happened Monday night, don't we? Mm-hmm. Some of you thought, he ain't going to go there. I have heard pastors in this state say that's pastoral suicide to even go there. But I want you to think about it just a moment. I watched the ball game. I got my team. You got yours. Here's the way we count national championships. And it's the truth. That's the way it is. But, I wish you could, we had some statistic of how many people sit in front of a TV and watch that game Monday night as compared to how many people spent 1 hour of prayer this week that claim to be Christians. If you ask them, you say, what are you? I'm a Christian. And just like Paul wrote, he said, you claim to be wise, but everything we see from you is foolish. It's foolish. How can you possibly claim to be what you're not? And if you look back at why question, it's all because we take something and replace God with it in our life. And I put the first one there for you, and it's really not a thing. I don't know where I got that, but I put the word substitution. We actually substitute something where God is supposed to be. In Deuteronomy 6:14-15 says this: do not follow other gods, lowercase g there, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God, who is among you, is a jealous God. Like I say, God does not mind you having other things that you enjoy in your life. I enjoy sports. I enjoy football. I enjoy all of them. But you know what? God's a jealous God. He don't want you to enjoy anything more than you enjoy him. He's got to be in the order correctly, folks. And you can't put him down in the order and fool him. He knows. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what's coming out of your mouth, the next statement you make. He's all powerful. He's all knowing God, and there's nothing you can do to fool him. So we got to be very careful, folks, what we choose to worship. And sometimes, like I was telling my class this week, why is it that we come into a worship service, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, and we don't worship God with all our heart and our love? Why don't we, I'm in that group. I could have raised my hand. I go in here every Sunday. I don't do some of the things that I feel led to do. You know why? Because we're looking over our shoulder to see who's looking at us. Let me tell you something. They're not looking at you. They should be looking at God, not at you or what you're doing. I want Grace Baptist Church to be a place where you feel open to worship every way you want to worship. What does that mean, Mike? You want us to get up and run around through the aisles and all that kind of stuff? No, I'm not advertising that because I can't run. But, I want you to feel free to worship God and get all that God has to offer you when you come into a worship service. This should be a place that we come where we want to make sure that God understands that he's number one in our life. Pastors shouldn't have to beg for amens. You're not amen in what they said. You're amen in the word anyway. That's the way it should be. It should be an encouraging time. We have different kinds of church that have sprung up in our midst now. They're all over the place. You go to different worship services. You go to some, and it's called the traditional service. You know what I'm saying? I like some traditional stuff. I do. I wasn't raised in church, so it's all new to me. And then there's, you know, this more up style, I guess, I really don't know what the word for it is, but it's got musical instruments back here and all this kind of stuff, and it got more singers and sing. All I know is when I go to a service and I see different things, I watch how people are responding. And when I go to see this, I see young people just going crazy. I see young people just on their feet, raising their hands to God and doing all those things and praising God. You can hear coming the praise of God coming off their lips, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to see. That substitution, we will substitute something in God's place if we're not careful. In this case, Paul said, you know, your lives don't glorify God. You claim to know him, but I look at your life and I don't see God in it. And I would caution you also too, don't let this be the only expression of worship that you have during the week. You know, nowhere is it written that you come to church services and your obligation has been met. You're robbing yourself of blessing is what you're doing. You're totally robbing yourself of blessing, and you're only making an image for somebody else. We got golden calves, people. We don't want to admit what they are, but we got golden calves. You know, I thought about what one pastor said about football games. He said, you know, it's 100,000 people who need exercise watching 22 people who need rest. And that's pretty much true. And I thought about this, you know, all these things that we see in this substitution, you know, what it looks like. You know, if you look at the book of Psalms, it's the greatest writing in scripture about what our worship ought to look like. We're given great detail as to what our worship looks like. You know some of the things it talks about in Psalms? It talks about dancing, shouting, music, love language. 150 chapters in Psalms talks about all of those things. You know what? You look at a college football game on Saturday and tell me which one looks more like worship, Saturday or Sunday. Which one looks more like it? It's fine for you to have a good time on Saturday. It's fine for you to have your team, and it's fine for you to root for them. All of that is wonderful. But folks, we got to be careful. You know what we're known for in the South? We're known for that. That's what we're known for. You know what? When I go to leave this earth, they're going to stand over me, and I'm going to be with my Lord Jesus, and it's not going to matter who won what game, what day. None of it's going to matter. It's going to matter where I am with Jesus. That's what's going to matter. That's substitution. Our God, folks, deserves all the honor, praise, and glory that you and I can give to him. He deserves that, and he deserves more. Number two down there, I put pride, something else that's in the exchange. We exchange our own pride for worship here. John 12, 42, 43 says this, yet at the same time many of the leaders believed in him. This is the leaders of the Jewish church. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved praise from men more than praise from God. They believe in him. It's very clear in the scripture that John said they believed in Lord Jesus. They believed he was who he said he was. They believed in him. But if when it came time to witnessing for him and worshiping in front of other people, they couldn't possibly do that because you see that they'd be thrown out of the temple, and you can't worship in here if you're going to worship him. And then where are we in that, folks? Where are we? You know, we stand up for our right to worship. Are we truly privileged people to worship Christ? We actually worry about what other people think of us more than we worry about whether, you know, we really do. You think about this. We become so worried about what other people think that, and we don't worry at all about what God thinks. You know, it's more important to recognize what they think about us. You can't come to church and worry about worshiping a God and loving him with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and worry about what your neighbor thinks that you're doing. You know, you got to let loose and do it. And it can't be something you only do on Sunday. It's worship. It's all the time. Number three is a word I call hedonism. Hedonism is a word that means that belief that pleasure or happiness should govern the way that you live. In other words, you know, sports, if it feels good, do it. That's what Nike's big thing was, you know, years ago. Feels good, do it. Folks, you cannot follow your feelings. You've heard me say that. You can't do it. Your feelings will take you astray. You can't just look and say, well, I got a good feeling. Sharon and I bought it. We traded automobiles in, bought one about 2 weeks ago. I'm going to tell you, if you ever think you get a good feeling at a car dealership, you need to go outside and check your pulse. You know? I have this thing in my mind of us driving off in the vehicle that we just bought and paid way too much, and the dealer, all the people in the dealership playing cards in there an hour after we gone, just dying laughing at how stupid those people were. I feel like Clark Griswold when I leave the dealership every time. Every time. But you can't trust your feelings. You know, we're not here to be a feeling type people. It's okay to have them. Sure, is it okay to be emotional? Certainly. It's okay to have feelings, but don't put all your trust in them. That's not where it's supposed to be. You know, if you're going to get to God and worship, you got to avoid letting those kind of things rule you, because hedonism and that kind of thing, it will jump in front of your worship and it'll take its place. It will exchange itself for it. Hebrews 13:15 says, though Jesus therefore let us continuously offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. My question to you folks, when have you last openly professed the name of Jesus Christ to anyone? Think about it. Yeah, but we're Christians, aren't we? Are people that come down from Mars and they're studying our civilization, what would they say? You're supposed to know the Bible, you're supposed to read the Bible, you're supposed to confess, you're supposed to worship, but did we? Then I put a word in here, this is funny, here Sharon was typing in my notes and she said, Mike, I can't find that word anywhere in the dictionary, anything. I made the word up. That's why it's called spectatorism. It's not a word called spectatorism, but humor me, put it in there. Spectatorism, James 4 through 8, New Living Testament says, come close to God and God will come close to you. Here's the thing that most people just don't realize. They don't realize this. God is overwhelmingly desiring to get closer to you. He loves you so much, he wants to get closer in every way. He wants you to do whatever you've got to do to get closer to him. Get rid of some of these things that are taking place in your worship and focus your worship totally on him. That's what he wants. He didn't get you to come spectate. You know, a lot of people think the word worship service, that's what service means. I'm going to come see how everything goes. You folks, we don't come in here to see how everything goes. We come in here to participate, join, do it, you know, take part. I'm not talking about joining the church. You come here 30 years. If you join the church, wonderful. If you don't, that's fine. As long as you just come in and be a part of us, worship with us, enjoy yourself. That's what we want you to do in worship. Express what God has done for you in worship. It may be different than what God has done for me. It may be in a different way because you're a different person than I am. Maybe you express yourself differently than I do. That's fine. All that's fine. But express yourself. Don't be a spectator. I put a couple of verses there. James 4:8, New Living Testament, come close to God and God will come close to you. And then I put, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Let us draw near to God. God wants to see us make that move toward him. And man, he's going over leaps and bounds of mountains trying to get to us because we're that important to him. The next one, last one there I put is tradition. It's tradition. We've got to be careful with this. What is the right way or the wrong way? Is it right to be conventional? Is it right to sit on pews, not chairs? Is it right to have stained glass or regular glass? Which one's right? You know, some people say, I go to this, but I'm not going to a church. I ain't going to a church where old pastor sits up on the stool. I just can't take it. You know, people say that, when you ask them about their worship, you know what they tell you? Where they used to go to church, or what happened when they got to church. I used to go all the time, but then they started doing this, and they changed out this and changed out that. They don't even look like a church anymore. What's a church supposed to look like, folks? Let me show you what it looks like. It looks like this right here. Looks like the heart inside of you. That's what the church consists of. It doesn't consist of buildings. It doesn't consist of pews that you're sitting on. It doesn't consist of a microphone. It doesn't consist of all these musical instruments. They're just here to help us with our worship. That's all that's here for. It's just to enable us to worship and feel free and cry out to God that we love him and that we care for him and that we appreciate what he's done for us. More than anything else, just to, God, I love you and I appreciate what you have done for us. Matthew 15:3-9 says this. Jesus replied, "Why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites." Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. "These people honor me with their lips, but with their hearts they're far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Now, we've got standards that we live up to, that we have as a church that we follow, and they are good things. They are biblically correct. We follow those things. But folks, we got to be real careful that we don't trip over the traditions and the rules trying to do what God wants done. We've got to open ourselves up to his worship. And every one of us in here, you heard me say this before, we got some kind of opinion as to what kind of music we like, because there's a big, huge, panorama of music that we use in the church now. And all of us, so I like a little bit more of that. I like a little bit more of this. I like a little bit of that, okay? I want you to think about this when you come to worship Sunday morning. Somebody in this church liked what was done. You might not have liked it, You might say, "Well, Lord, it's not a good day for that. It's not a good day." God is the God of all. He's a God trying to reach folks. What are you doing on Sunday morning? What is your mission that day? What's your mission on Monday? It's trying to reach folks and give them the news about what a wonderful God is that we worship. Worship is actually giving God something that he doesn't have. Mike, you just said something's crazy there, because God's got everything. He doesn't have this because he gave it freely to me and you, and he wants us to give it back. That's what this worship is. Look at Psalm 50, New Living Testament. What does God really want from us? I'm finishing up quickly here. "I have no complaints about your sacrifices or your burnt offerings you constantly offer. But I do not need the bulls from your barns or the goats from your pens." Do you hear what God said? I'm pleased that you're bringing the animals and that you're sacrificing them, because I told you that's what to do. And I'm pleased that you're in obedience to do that to me. I'm pleased with that. But let's be clear about something. I don't need the bulls or the goats or any of that. Look what he says next. "For all the animals of the forest are mine. I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. I love that. You can't bring enough that he doesn't already have it. He says, "I know every bird in the mountains and the animals in the field are mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. For all the world is mine and everything in it. I don't need you to come and practice and bring me these things that I have so ordered." And what God did with all that is to try to get his people ordered into their life where they would choose him first and bring the first that they had into him every week. That's what God was trying to do. He was trying to get these sinful people out of the habit of doing sinful things and coming to him first. And the reason he says here, I love this, because in this psalm he says, "I don't need your goats, I don't need your bulls, I don't need any of the animals, I don't need any of that, I don't need food, I own it all. So I don't need you to bring me those things. What you're doing in sacrifice by bringing those things to me is showing me that you're bringing me what's most important to you." God said, I want to be most important to you. He said, do I eat the meat of bulls? Do I drink the blood of goats? Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God and keep the vows you made to the Most High. That's what I want. Then call on me when you're in trouble and I'll rescue you and you'll give me glory. Don't you love it when people are calling on him and they need him and he rescues us every, you know, we'll look and say, well, he didn't rescue me. I had this happen. He is not, the game's not over yet, folks. The game is not over. And I put three things down there at the end real quick for you there. First of all, I think what he wants in that, he wants us to thank him with sincere affection. To thank him with sincere affection, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen whose hearts are fully committed to him. He's searching throughout the earth, looking for hearts that are fully committed to him, because that's who he wants to deal with. You can't halfway, you can't be a halfway Christian and expect God just pour blessing your way. You don't earn the blessing. He said, I don't need whatever you got anyway. I don't need you to feed me. He says, then the second thing, he wants you to be thankful. Second thing, offer him the control of your life. That's ultimately what he wants. And there's so many people out now saying, look, I know me, and I know what's best for me. How's that working for you? How is that working for you? You may think that. You may say, I know myself. I know what works for me. I know where I am. I know where I've been ever since I was a little boy, girl, and all that. There's going to be a time in your life, folks, that you're going to have to fall on your knees before a holy God and say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. I needed you. I needed you all along. It was you I needed. There's going to come a day. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue is going to confess that he's Lord. You're going to do it one way or the other. And I put Romans 12:1 in there. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is the true and proper worship. He said, don't bring me bulls and calves and all that stuff. Bring me your bodies in here in sincerity. Bring me your hearts. And I know what your heart's got in it. Bring me sincerity in here in worship. And worship me the way I've loved you. And I will bless you. That's what he wants. He won't take anything less. There's no bargaining. There's no bargaining with him. Let's pray. Father, we praise you tonight for who you are and for what you have done for us, Lord, and for this message, Lord, that you've put on my heart. And I just, Lord, I ask you to forgive my inadequacy. I ask you, Lord, to look past all that. I ask you to touch hearts with the power of your spirit that only you can do anyway. So, Lord, I ask you to do that tonight. I praise you for the time that we have to spend together. I thank you for Grace Baptist Church, for the leadership, and for all those that serve here, for all those that are members here. I thank you for each and every one of them. And Father, in this season that sometimes seems so bleak to all of us, I pray this be a season of renewal for each and every one of us. Help us to look deep down in our hearts, Lord, and see where we are with these things. How do we measure up to a holy God? Lord, what and who is getting our worship? Help us, Lord, point it out to us and show us. I've got something on my mind. There are others out there right now, Lord, thinking. Lord, I praise you that you point out the truth to us. And so I ask you tonight, impart your words on our hearts as we leave this place. For we give you all honor and praise and glory. Amen and amen.